CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS and the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. And Bob's about to take us to low Earth orbit, but significantly, September 15th, 2021 is the date to mark in history to low Earth orbit. Bob, a very good evening to you. What happened on September 15th, 2021 that's discontinuous with manned space travel to date?
Good evening, John. Well, I have an essay on Behind the Black, which I titled "The Real Human Exploration of the Solar System Began on September 15, 2021." And what happened was that on that date, SpaceX launched four passengers into orbit. It was an entirely privately funded mission for profit. The lead passenger on that, Gerard Isaacman, had paid for the flight, and then had others pay as well, or were brought on board by him, his choice. And so it's a completely private flight. The rocket, the launch facilities, the drone ship that picked up the first stage successfully landed on its third flight, the capsule, Dragon, everything is privately built. All the employees that were involved in this launch were private employees. None of them worked for the government. None. There were no government people involved in this in the slightest. I mean, there was some peripheral help with the range officers and at Kennedy, but to be very honest, everything here was a private flight and privately funded with private goals. That's the significance. And there are two things we can take from this that are very, very significant. The first was a little aside by John Innsbrucker, one of NASA, SpaceX's chief engineers, who often is a host on their live streams. When the spacecraft got up to about 193 kilometers, what is that, about 125 miles, and was pretty much just seconds away from reaching orbit, really, very close, 5 minutes into the flight, he said, as almost an aside, but very gently, quote, "Also notice, we're really up there now, well past 100 kilometers. And there's no question in my mind that he was making a blunt point to everyone, comparing this orbital flight with the two suborbital joyrides that occurred from Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin in July. Because those flights, after 5 minutes, they had reached 100 kilometers, and they were pretty much on their way back down to Earth. It was over. They were done. On this flight, after 5 minutes, they're 193 kilometers, and the flight is hardly begun. They've just separated the first stage. The second stage engine has ignited, and really the only thing left to do at that moment was to turn off that second stage engine and separate the Dragon capsule from the upper stage, which they did successfully. And that spacecraft is now in orbit, and it'll be in orbit for the next 3 days, and those passengers and customers are getting the ride they wanted for their purposes, their dreams. Isaacman wanted to go to space, but he also wanted to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Cancer Research Hospital, and that's the purpose of this mission. He's gotten people to donate a lot of money to that hospital to support his flight. And once again, this just tells you that those suborbital flights were really not real space flights. They can't take us anywhere. All they can do is do a quick joyride, a quick thrill. You can brag that for a few minutes you experienced weightlessness and got into space. But SpaceX's inspiration for a crew, they actually are in space for days, and they were brought there by a rocket that can actually launch real payloads into orbit and make possible the initial exploration of the solar system. The difference is fundamental. And so we got to be aware of that. I'm not against the suborbital flights, but they are not going to put us explore the solar system. This flight will. And the second thing about this flight that's really significant is because it's for profit and it's for the goals of these individuals and the company, not the government, It is basically the first time, at least for now, that we've finally been freed from what I call the tentacle control of government. That control, which was really successful at the beginning of the exploration of space, has really done nothing since the 1970s. For the last half century, we've literally gone nowhere in space. There's been little technical innovation. It's all been government programs. They've made a lot of bad decisions, and the only way we could respond to those bad decisions for decades was to lobby to try to make the government do something different. And none of that ever worked. All they do is come up with new proposals, which either would be wasted money or be rejected after they died stillborn. Nothing got done. And now we have a better answer. We can ignore the government. We can just simply hire SpaceX and hopefully more companies down the road to do what we want in space. And that is going to get us to the moon and Mars far faster, in much greater variety, with great redundance, and it'll all be done in the name of freedom and competition and capitalism, which are the foundations of what made this country great and brought a renaissance to the whole world in the 20th century.
Boca Chica, Texas. SpaceX. Now, this looks earthly, Bob. Why do they need more room?
Well, they're building Starship, you know, at Boca Chica, which is basically near Brownsville, Texas, at the southern tip of Texas. They're building Starship and Super Heavy, their big super heavy lift rocket to go to Mars and to do many other things as well. Well, they're going to have to do a lot of work there. They're not just simply doing it at the Boca Chica. They're going to need a lot of facilities. So what they've done is they've now leased several large facilities in Brownsville, including a very large facility at the airport. That airport is relatively poor and hasn't had much business. This is going to bring them business. And what SpaceX is essentially saying is, we're here to stay. We're going to have to bring in a lot of equipment and people, and so we need facilities at or near the airport to do that, and this means more and more people are going to come in. And as the article notes, the real estate market in Brownsville has gone off the roof, and mainly because of all the people from SpaceX that are coming in, or related to SpaceX that are coming in to do the construction there. And this is part of what I just said about the real exploration of space. When you don't tie yourselves to a single government program, but you instead get a chaotic free aerospace industry, many things begin to happen in many different places right off the bat. Well, unfortunately, right now, it's only SpaceX. I really am to expect in the coming few years that there's going to be many others coming along, John.
Mark Vandehei is an astronaut who's just been extended at the ISS. How many days, Bob? 353 days in space?
That's correct. That's correct. He was launched, in the spring on a Soyuz capsule. That seat was purchased by NASA because Boeing has not gotten its Starliner capsule flying. Then they needed to get this guy up there. And when he was launched, the plan was he'd come back in October. But it was also known at that time that there was a very good chance that his seat in October would not be available on a Soyuz, because the Russians at that time were trying, and they have now succeeded, in packaging a commercial flight in October where a film director and his female star for a movie will fly up on a Soyuz and come back 10 days later on another Soyuz, and that one that will come back on is the one where Vandenheyer's seat was on. So he loses his seat. And so NASA, knowing, and Russia have agreed to extend Vandenheyer's mission to next March. It'll be 353 days in orbit, just short of a year. It will break the record that Scott Kelly did in 2015 when he was up there for 340 days, about 11 months, not a year as they tried to claim. It still is a record that is below about four Russian flights, about five different Russians who've been in space a year or more, including Valery Polyakov, who was there for 438 days, 14 and a half months, back in 93 and 94. So no one's broken Polyakov's record yet. But nonetheless, it's a long flight, and they'll be able to do research. It does highlight, though, once again, government. NASA's been reluctant to do these year-long flights, but if you're going to go to Mars, you've got to do them now and figure out the medical issues, John. There's no doubt about that.
And a new book by a geneticist, Bob, the next 500 years, talking about genetic changes that are possible as we go farther and farther into cellular engineering. in order to make Homo sapiens more suitable to long-distance flights, such as to Mars and beyond. I learned that when Scott Kelly came back, there were dramatic, damaging changes to his body from being in zero gravity for that long, and that it took time to recover, and there was not full recovery. This is a harsh fact, Bob, weighing on the Mars mission. If anybody travels 9 months out and hopes to come back, there will be serious risk involved with radiation, with low gravity, with chemical changes in the body.
Yeah, this has been known for a while, but of course the more research is necessary. Weightlessness not only changes the cardiovascular system, stretches the spine, causes back pain, lowers bone density to a point where you might not be able to get the return to Earth. Your bones will break. It also means that when you get to Mars, you might not be physically capable of working in the Martian gravity. We have to deal with this issue, and the only way we're going to deal with it properly is to have long-term flights. And that's something NASA has been reluctant to do. They've almost done it here by accident, but it's a good thing. They'll at least be doing it.
I just give you one example, not chemical or based on genetic changes. He said his ankles were as big as basketballs, and it took him some days to learn to walk again. So one version is that the fluids settle on the lowest part of the body when you're walking around because you've spent so long in zero gravity. Now let's go to the Chinese astronauts coming back from their space station. Now they were not up there that long that there should be dramatic changes to their bodies.
There will be some issues, but they were there for 90 days on the new Chinese space station that they're building right now. And they've undocked from their station and will momentarily return to Earth. There shouldn't be any issues. It's pretty routine, but, you know, we'll see. It's an interesting side note, though, that with the launch of the four commercial passengers by SpaceX this week, you actually had 14 people in space on three different missions, the ISS crew, the Chinese three, and the four SpaceX people. And that is a record for the most people in space. It beats the record from 2009 on ISS of 13. And that's kind of cool, actually, John. But, yes, they're on the way back. China is going to now launch a new cargo freighter to this station and follow that up with another three-man crew for 90 days as they continue the assembly of this new space station in orbit.
The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, has been variously cautious and aggressive towards space flight. What is the posture now, Bob?
Well, the Department of the Inspector General of the Department of Transportation has now started an investigation into the FAA's recent effort, begun by the Trump administration, to reduce the airspace that they close during launch operations. And that's in order to allow more launches and also interfere with commercial air traffic more. And the reason they reduced that airspace is because the technology and the software has improved so much that even if something goes wrong, rockets can actually stay under control and be destroyed intentionally in a much safer way. And so you can shrink the airspace in launches to encourage more rocket launches. And we had demonstrations of that recently with both the Astra Rocket 3 launch and the Firefly Alpha launch. These are two new rocket companies. Both launches failed. In both cases, they failed very early in the mission, an engine failure. But in both cases, the rocket software and other engines picked up the slack so that the rocket could continue to rise in the air until it was much farther away from populated areas, and that's when they terminated the flight, destroyed the rocket. And that, of course, was a safer situation. But what happened? We had these issues occur, so of course our politicians want to get involved, and several Republican members of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure and its Subcommittee on Aviation have requested this Inspector General report to look into whether the shrinking of the airspace during launches was a proper thing to do. And this is just government interfering, as far as I'm concerned. I think the FAA is making some good choices in conjunction with the private industry, which doesn't want to drop things on the public. It's bad public relations, but they do want to at least be able to fly.
Now, here's a good piece of news from the FAA. They have grounded Virgin Galactic. There's another issue, Bob.
Well, they didn't have any. They haven't grounded. They haven't grounded Virgin Galactic, the FAA, but not for this. They grounded them because the suborbital flight deviated outside its planned flight plan slightly because of high winds, and the pilots quickly corrected that. And the grounding is mostly for political reasons because the Stargate broke, and now they have to take an action. But we've now learned that Virgin Galactic had a different technical problem in its spacecraft. And they themselves have now grounded future flights, even if the FAA releases its ground, because there might have been a potential manufacturing defect in the flight control actuation system component of Spaceship Two. Once again, this raises the question, does Virgin Galactic a company we can trust to fly with? I certainly wouldn't buy any tickets from them because they have these problems too often, John. I don't think their quality control is very good.
Non-transparent would be one generous way to describe Virgin Galactic. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.